At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, July 25th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we are going to attempt to create a collective top five list of movies in the X-Men franchise. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Editor Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
And staff writer Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, guys. So Deadpool and Wolverine opens in theaters technically today. Brad has seen the movie, but Jacob, Ryan, and I haven't had the chance to see it yet. So we will not be talking about that film on today's episode or putting it in contention for this list. But the point of our discussion today is to try to come up with a group consensus of the five best movies in the X-Men franchise, including the first two Deadpool movies and the Wolverine movies, if we so choose. There are two quick things I want to say before we dive in. First of all, Bryan Singer, we have to like address the elephant in the room there. He directed several of these movies. There have been some allegations made about him suggesting that he's done some pretty terrible things. I encourage people to read up on that in the event that you haven't heard those stories. So I just want to acknowledge that and say that we're going to try to judge these movies on their own merits and not really bring off-camera events into our reasoning too much, if at all. The second thing is
Brett Ratner is also a director involved in this list. So
yes, great point. Yes, thank you. Forgot about that entirely. Yes. Second thing is Brad, when you and I tried to use a somewhat structured quasi-scientific process to determine the best summer blockbuster of 1996 recently, that didn't exactly pan out super well. So for this conversation, I think we can just have kind of a free-flowing chat and basically just figure it out as we go. We were talking beforehand and Ryan suggested that I list all of the movies that we're talking about here in contention and then we'll go from there. So just to refresh everyone's memory, the movies that could make our top five list are X-Men, X-Men 2, X-Men The Last Stand, X-Men Origins Wolverine, X-Men First Class, The Wolverine, X-Men Days of Future Past, Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse, Logan, Deadpool 2, Dark Phoenix, and The New Mutants. So, Jacob, you had a suggestion right before we started recording about how we can actually kick this thing off. So tell me about that.
Yes, there are 13 movies on this list. Only seven of them are worth a damn. Let's cut six right now. I will list them. Cut New Mutants. Cut Dark Phoenix. Cut X-Men Apocalypse. Cut The Wolverine. Sorry, no, it was okay. Cut X-Men Origins Wolverine. Cut X-Men The Last Stand. And cut X-Men.
I'll agree with four or five of those. New Mutants, I'm not letting go this quickly. I at least want to say my piece there. But
wow. Okay. All right.
I agree with all except the original X-Men.
Okay. Yeah, that one also seems shitty to cut this quickly. But
all right, let's cut all of them except for New Mutants and the original X-Men. So
should we briefly have like a 1-2 sentence explanation for why each of these suck?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Dark Phoenix, I didn't even bother seeing, so somebody else is gonna have to take that one.
It is the most uninspired, bland, boring thing. It takes no risks, no chances, watered down, sanded off. It's the anti-Logan in terms of trying to do something interesting with X-Men. It is just boring.
Okay, so what about X-Men Apocalypse?
The worst of the bunch. This is the worst film in the entire franchise.
What a crime to waste Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse and just totally ruin a great villain. Yeah.
I think what sucks about it is it has one of the best scenes in a superhero movie ever. That Quicksilver mansion scene is incredible. And just like the movie around a couple of good scenes is so bad.
But at the same time, even that Quicksilver mansion scene is like, it's cool, but like we already had the cool Quicksilver scene from Days of Future Past, so it's kind of like not as cool.
Novelty is gone. Just
fair
a
enough,
bit, but yeah.
Any goodness in this movie is undone by character wearing a sexy bathing suit superhero costume visiting Auschwitz.
Just.
The optics of that scene is the worst thing I've seen in any X-Men
movie. I forgot about that, my God.
Yeah, tough look for Olivia Munn there. Not her fault, but yeah, that's rough. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Anybody want to say anything about this one?
Oh my god!
At least it's charmingly bad. It's bad in ways that are really fun.
Terrible visual effects too.
One of the worst CGI shots in a superhero movie ever, to my memory, is when Wolverine's claws pop in that family's farm, and they just look like you can tell that they're CGI. It's just like, it's such a bad shot. It says everything about that movie.
I know that production was notoriously troubled. A lot of collision behind the scenes between the studio execs and the director, Gavin Hood. And you can tell that movie is just a big old mess. And at the time, I thought it was the nadir of the franchise. In retrospect, the just boring, like, gluttonous nonsense of Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix make Origins seem really charming in comparison. Especially, it's still an impossible movie to defend on any real level.
And they ruined Deadpool.
Yeah. It's kind of like most notable for the mistakes that it made instead of, you know, being a movie on its own terms or whatever. So, all right. I guess with that said, we've cleared out a lot of contenders. So,
X-Men The Last Stand is a flaming pile of garbage.
Oh, yes. I already forgot about this. This is the second time already in 5 minutes that I've forgotten about X-Men The Last Stand. So I'm glad that it's not making this.
I will never forgive that movie for wasting Kelsey Grammer as Beast. That was such beautiful casting. And yeah, just a complete waste.
I was looking at the Wikipedia page for that movie before we started recording, and I just want to read you guys a quick two-sentence summary or something from that. Scott Summers, still distraught over the loss of Jean Grey, drives to her resting location at Alkali Lake. Jean appears to Scott, but as the two kiss, Jean kills him. I was just like cracking up in my house reading that. So anyway, bad movie, but... okay, let's try to narrow this down a little bit. Ryan, you said you wanted to make the case for the New Mutants. I'm sorry. I don't think that there's any way that that's going to make it into the top five X-Men movies, but if you want to try to make your case now, go for it.
I don't necessarily think it is, but I at least, before we just kill it, I think that movie was done a gargantuan disservice by all of the delays coming out over the pandemic, all this stuff. We talk about, you know, superhero movies need to stop doing the same thing, all this stuff. And I think New Mutants being like a mid-budget horror film, mostly set like in this contained area with new characters, not rehashing the same stuff. I genuinely love this movie. Like, as it exists, I'm not even qualifying that. I really genuinely love this movie. And I think it really was just done a disservice by all of the conversation around it, all of the circumstances. And I think it deserves a better look. I think it deserves it, particularly now, looking even a few years back, and I think people would do well to revisit this one, or if they never bothered to check it out. And I just think it deserves better than saying, oh, let's just axe it right away because it's worthless, because it's not. And that's, I don't think it's going to make it. I never thought it would, but I at least want to say that about it.
You know what? I think Ryan's right. I think New Mutants has its heart's in the right place at all times. It's a big swing. I think that swing is a miss. But I would take the ambition of what New Mutants is trying over the first 4 week cut any day of the week. That said, I do agree that we can gracefully let it go. It would be my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. It's a commendable effort, but it's...
I guess that's my thing, is I just don't want to lump it in with those other movies we just talked about and say like, oh, it can just go. I really would encourage people to give this one a go, give it a second look. And again, I think, Brad, if you just said gracefully let it go is the way that I would like to do it here.
Okay, I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. Should I try to maybe recommend one that I think should be cut next? Do we want to try to go in that order?
How about we try the opposite? How about we pick the ones that we know for sure, no matter what, all of us agree must be in the top five, no arguments? Because I think there's at least two or three on this list that may qualify for that.
Ooh, let's see if we have the same two.
Okay, well, I think Logan probably is the... the go-to option, right? Like, I think we can all probably agree that this movie should be... Okay. We'll talk about it probably more deeply as we get into, like, hashing out placements and stuff like that. What about X-Men 2?
Yeah, X-2 would be my second choice for absolute lock-in.
Yes.
Everybody agree on that, Ryan?
X-2 is my favorite superhero movie of all time. It goes...
Excellent. Okay. So let's see. I would say X-Men.
We'll work on a list, Ben. Like, we're going to list and we'll see which title gives resistance first, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so what about the original X-Men?
Boo, no.
The original X-Men is a fine movie, but it was 25 years ago. It couldn't really be what these movies needed to be. And again, I want to let this one go gracefully because it did sort of open the door for everything that came later. But yeah, it doesn't really compare to what came after.
Yeah, it deserves a place, like being mentioned, because it began this like new legacy of superhero movies. And yes, I know people like to point out that Blade came just before X-Men, but X-Men made superhero movies into like even bigger blockbuster hits that felt more viable for larger audiences. And so it deserves some credit for doing that. But yeah, as far as standing toe-to-toe with the rest of the X-Men movies, then I'd say that, yeah, it's towards the bottom, not one of the worst, but definitely not one of the best.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, it's more lower budget than we've come to expect from comic book movies, which has its positives and negatives. I think the positives are that the movie can focus more on the characters and less on spectacle, which is great when you're basically introducing these characters to a big chunk of the movie going audience. The negatives then are that you kind of need some spectacle moments in a movie like this. And the ones that we do get just kind of aren't all that exciting, especially compared to some of the stuff that happens later in the franchise. So,
and plus, since it was before superhero movies were cool, they had to like do things to try and make them seem cool or more accessible to the audience, you know, like the black leather outfits and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep.
Credit for casting though.
Yeah, casting was pretty spot on.
Do you know what happens when Toad gets hit by lightning?
Oh, God. The same thing that happens to everything else, Jacob.
This movie, X-Men is probably one of the most important movies of all time, like literally, in terms of how it that and Blade both prepped audiences for the success of Spider-Man in 2002. And yep. It's just that triple punch of movies fundamentally shifted the cinema for 25 years. Just straight up. Yep. It's true. But yeah. I think that Blade and Spider-Man hold up, and I don't think X-Men does.
Okay, so I guess we've talked about a few of the other ones here. What about X-Men First Class? I mean, I think it should be on the list.
Well, we're doing five?
Yeah, five.
It's...
Is this an edge case? I'm shocked. Well, I thought this was going to be in there for sure.
It's very, very close.
I was worried I was going to have to pull the knives out because I like First Class a lot, but it doesn't get top five for me.
Wow, I love First Class. Okay,
if it were, it would be five for me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hang on to it and see what we have to say. What about the Wolverine? What is everybody feeling about that one?
It's okay. Yeah, it's definitely a lot better than X-Men Origins Wolverine. But it's not quite there yet.
I think I probably like it the most here. I would wager nobody likes that movie more than I do of this group. I kind of really like that movie, but I don't know that like my like for it means that it's like better than First Class. Does that make sense? Like I'm willing to admit that like I think I would watch the Wolverine before I'd watch First Class again, and I watch these movies semi-regularly, but I think it's also fair to say that First Class might be a quote unquote better movie. So I'll say that much.
Okay. All right. How about X-Men Days of Future Past? Where do we stand on that one? I kind of love this movie.
Yeah,
it's a lock for me.
This would make a lock for me too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if that was going to be a controversial opinion, but it seems like we're all on the same page there. What about rules. The first Deadpool?
Wait, I didn't hear Brad. Brad, are you Days of Future Past
fan? Yeah, 100%. That's all the way for me.
Right. Excellent. First Deadpool from 2016. What do we think?
Another lock for me.
I don't like the Deadpool movies, so I would say that neither Deadpool or Deadpool 2 should be on this list.
if I were to pick between the two Deadpool movies, I would pick the first Deadpool because it took the piss out of superheroes in a great way at a time when it was definitely needed, and it was a great comeback for the character after being totally ruined in X-Men Origins Wolverine. And it just offered up like something new and fun in the superhero genre when everything else was feeling largely the same. And while it does succumb to some of the like, you know, superhero cliches, it's just a lot of fun. And there's some great action sequences in it. It's very funny and subversive for the time. So yeah, I would put the first Deadpool in my top five.
Here's my question for Ben. Ben, I think that at least one Deadpool movie is going to make this list. because I also agree that at least one of them should go. I'm actually torn between which one to select. So would you be willing to allow one Deadpool film on this list if we can agree on one?
Oh, of course. I'm sure, you know, I know that I'm outvoted here, and I'm guessing that you guys are going to agree that at least one of these movies should be on there. I just wanted to, you know, put on the record that I don't really care for these movies. But, and I'm still, like, curious about Deadpool and Wolverine, which I'm seeing tonight. So, even though my disdain for the first two movies is pretty strong, I'm not, I'm trying not to go in with my eyes too closed to this new movie. But, yeah, okay. So, I guess we'll... We've already locked in Logan. What about Deadpool 2? What do you guys think? Like, Ryan and Brad specifically.
Aren't we pretty much already at 5, and the only thing up for debate is which Deadpool movie gets in? Am I mistaken on the math?
Well, no. We're kind of, like, talking about them and saying which ones we like, but I don't think we've, like, truly, truly locked in the 5 yet.
Okay.
So.
It sounds like Logan, X2, and Days of Future Past are all locked. Everybody else is kind of...
And then it seems like maybe the Wolverine, maybe First Class, and then we're kind of debating the Deadpools. Is that where we're at with it?
Yeah. Yes. So we need, out of Wolverine, First Class, and the Deadpools, we need to pick two more. So three of these have to go. Or sorry, two of them have to go.
I'll just say for me, the first Deadpool, I like Deadpool 2 quite a bit, and I liked it a lot more when I saw it the first time. Subsequent watches have not been as kind to me for Deadpool 2. I think the original Deadpool was a far more groundbreaking movie, and just for sheer, like, what that movie did, and kind of, like, even in retrospect now where superhero movies are just getting bigger, more bombastic, more city-destroying, multiverse craziness... I think the original Deadpool still contains an important lesson of, like, it doesn't have to be bigger to be better. And I think for that reason alone, and for the sort of path that it carved for everyone else, I think that first one is leaps and bounds more important and better than two. But I'm willing to hear another opinion on that.
I would argue for two on certain days. I think two is a far more full-fledged X-Men movie. I really like how it uses supporting cast. I like the characters who are filled out around Wade in that movie. And I think it has, it has a bit more scope to its action. I think that Tim Miller is actually a super talented director, but David Leitch had the bigger budget, and it's very, very clear. But I guess when I think about Deadpool, the first joke I think of is the death of the X-Force in Deadpool 2, which I think is one of the funniest sequences in superhero movies.
It's great.
So that would be the one hang-up I'd have, but I argue that, yes, the way Deadpool was made... And how it broke the mold in the way it did makes it a more important movie. I think I'd sooner rewatch Deadpool 2, but Deadpool 1 I think is probably a better fit for this list.
If we were ranking X-Men scenes, that X-Force scene might be at the very top. Like, that is so good. But as a whole movie, I think it gets tricky.
Also, similar to the Quicksilver scene we talked about earlier, even though the X-Force scene is hilarious, I would just like to point out MacGruber was there first, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to introduce a non-X-Men movie comparison point in a conversation like this, but I definitely hear you, Brad.
Something we cut Deadpool 2 gracefully, and then we put Deadpool 1 into the list?
It sounds like that's where we're going. Does anybody staunchly oppose that line of reasoning?
No,
because okay. I think Jacob was the most in favor of Deadpool 2, and I think that he's willing to let that one... go. So I think it makes it easier if we just agree on that now, because then I think the big thing we got to figure out is Wolverine or First Class, I guess, is what we're left with.
Yeah, I think between these two it's gotta be First Class.
I agree.
We have the superior James Mangold Wolverine film already on the list, and we don't have Matthew Vaughn's First Class, which a film I'm very, very mixed on, but I like its gumption, and I think I'd rather see First Class on the list.
And it has a very unique visual style too, because it takes us further back in time and gives us something that feels a little bit classic. It makes use of, like, some X-Men characters that we hadn't seen in the franchise yet, which is pretty cool. It's a phenomenal cast too. So
it definitely tees up the ball for what comes later, right? With those, because it's amazing that they got two casts good enough to be able to do what they did with Days of Future Past later. Like, because you have to kind of nail the casting twice to be able to pull that off. And yeah. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, I would agree with that logic that, like, over those two, First Class, like, represents something different. And if we want to be a representative 5 list, I think that makes sense.
I just want to point out for the Wolverine, it's a really, really solid movie. And I think the Mangold would, you know, make the better film for Logan, where I feel like he had, you know, maybe fewer studio handcuffs on him. But the Wolverine, I think, kind of flies under the radar a lot. And it's a really solid, dependably made, well-acted action movie. And I just want to, I think the Wolverine's third act, where it gets a little bit too goofy, kind of, you know, derails it slightly. But I just want to pour one out for the Wolverine as we bump it down to the cut list as a genuinely good movie.
And yeah, and some of the action in the middle. Like, I think they're, what, that train chase with, like, the arrow fight and all, that's good stuff. Like, I think it's a fun movie.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so actually, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and finalize the placements of our list here.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so I think we've got the five. I was going to maybe push for the first X-Men being included just because of, like, the importance, but we already talked about that, and I think, like, in my heart of hearts, I know that these other movies are probably better representative of what the X-Men franchise is. So I'm also willing to, like, let this first X-Men go.
I'd be willing to hear an argument to put in that first X-Men over First Class, but I also think that, like, there's been a better argument made for First Class, so I think that'd be hard to...
Yeah, I think the next step that we need to take is figuring out what the number five movie is here. And it sounds like it might be First Class. I would say that I mean, as somebody who doesn't really care for the Deadpool films, I would be thrilled if Deadpool ends up as number five on this list. The case that I would make for First Class going above it is I think First Class is genuinely, like, one of the best reboots ever. Kevin Bacon rules as the villain of this movie. The casting, as Ryan has already said, of the young X-Men is spot on. There's this great 1960s period piece story to it. I mean, the whole thing just has this incredible sense of energy. And I just thought, like, McAvoy and Fassbender are electric in this movie. And, like, even going down to pretty low on the totem pole in terms of the casting list, you've got, like, Rose Byrne in there. You know, this movie, the cast is outstanding. There's, like, so many great that guys. You've got James Remar and, like, Michael Ironside and Ray Wise, and, like, I think people forget, like, the depth of the bench in this film, which just makes it really, really enjoyable to watch and rewatch. So I don't know, there's some pretty awesome stuff, like, especially the like Cuban Missile Crisis climactic event at the very end, I thought could have been super, super cheesy. And I personally thought it worked really well at the time. I haven't revisited this movie in a while, but I thought it held up really well. So I don't know. Deadpool is just kind of like a one trick pony, like a pretty samey kind of joke, meta joke kind of thing all the way through, to me anyway. And I just feel like First Class has a little bit more on its mind, which is why I would recommend putting it at four on this list. But I'm obviously willing to hear arguments otherwise.
Everything Ben said was true. And I think I've said this previously in an episode talking about Matthew Vaughn's films. I think Matthew Vaughn has exceptional taste in actors and in story and in collaborators. He can cast a movie like no one's business. He saw Daniel Craig as a leading man before everybody else did. He saw James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender as leads for X-Men. He's legitimately a brilliant producer. I feel very strongly that if he puts his mind to, like, making sure all the elements assembled for a movie are really well made elements, then you're going to have a damn good movie. The problem with Matthew Vaughn is I don't think he's a pretty talented director. I think that all his movies feel a little shoddy, a little half-assed, a little underbaked, a little unfinished. And I think this applies to X-Men First Class, which is just feels weirdly cheap throughout to me. And I don't think it has the visual dynamic of Deadpool. I think Tim Miller is a far more interesting visualist than Matthew Vaughn is. I think that Matthew Vaughn should have produced every X-Men movie. They would have been killer. I just can't get behind him as a director right now of First Class.
That's interesting, because, like, when I think of Deadpool, that first movie, I just think of, like, this sort of dirty gray color palette, and, like, it just kind of feels like a movie that is in search of larger ambitions, and, like, it's a pretty flat sort of, like, concrete look to that movie in my mind. And when I think of First Class, I think of, like, these lush colors and, like, the 60s period settings and like these incredible rooms where like McAvoy and Fassbender are like playing chess opposite each other in these rich leather couches and things like that. And then like the big beach scene at the end and everything, it just feels like a movie that has like some color and life to it. Whereas Deadpool to me visually feels like, you know, it's on life support basically. But
I don't disagree. What did Deadpool do to you, Ben? How did Deadpool hurt you?
I don't disagree with Ben when it comes to like the color palette, because it is a largely gray movie. But I also think that that is something that helps Deadpool pop as a character. And at the same time, though, even though it's not visually interesting as far as like the color or like sights are concerned, it's more visually interesting when it comes to how the action is depicted and how those scenes play out. And so I think that that helps like make the lack of color a little more forgiving.
Yeah. I think Ben's being a little hard. I mean, look, he doesn't like the movie. I get it. When you don't like a movie, it's hard, but I think Ben's being hard on Deadpool. Like, I think the thing is, I like First Class. I own the movie. I will watch it again happily. And I might tonight, who knows, but it is the same, but different. Like, right, it's a reboot, but it's like, these aren't the X-Men you're used to. They're young this time. Like, and it's a good execution of that, but it is very much like, Deadpool was not the same but different. Deadpool was, yes, maybe it's Ryan Reynolds doing his thing, and yes, maybe it's things we'd seen in other genres and types of movies before, but Deadpool was very, very different, not just for the X-Men, but for superheroes in general, and I think that's paved a way for a lot. And I think that the action is super fun. It is a funny movie. I think that's one of the best looking superhero costumes ever, like, period. I think that Deadpool costume is fantastic. And so, yeah, I think Ben, your distaste is noted by the group, but I think you're being a little hard on it.
Okay, well, I made my case and I appreciate you guys hearing me out. I think I'm, after making my case and hearing the responses, I'm comfortable putting First Class at number 5 and putting Deadpool at number 4 if everybody else is okay with that.
Yes. I will say this much. I think that Michael Fassbender's Magneto is the single best performed character in all of the X-Men franchise.
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, actually, at least tied with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine deserves that title. I'm being a little hyperbolic when I say Fassbender is the best, but if Hugh Jackman is the honorary automatic best X-Men character in the franchise, then Fassbender Magneto is the honorary second. I think that having the taste to cast him in that movie is Vaughn's best choice.
Who's the third? I'm curious. Like, is it Patrick Stewart? It's got to be Patrick Stewart, right?
Yeah, it's either Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen.
Or Toad.
Patrick Stewart is so such the only choice for that part. I mean, it's astonishing. Like, I know he was already so famous for Star Trek, but the fact that there existed this other character who on paper fit everything Patrick Stewart does to a T is kind of remarkable, how that happened.
Mm-hmm. I heard you, Brad, with that Toad joke.
This is very Park slander happening in this household.
I just want to make sure that we don't forget, okay? He's got a long tongue and he wears goggles.
Well, speaking of Fassbender and Stewart, I think Days of Future Past feels like the easy number 3 here, right?
I agree.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, but I will say, like, I don't want to belittle this movie's accomplishments. Like, before all this multiverse crap, before all, you know, like, this movie pulled off something pretty impressive. 10 years ago, what this movie did felt, again, groundbreaking within a genre that had kind of worn a lot of things thin and was starting to, and I think this movie still plays like gangbusters. It is a damn good movie.
Yeah, I remember thinking that, like, I was like, how are they gonna pull this off? Like, there's no way they're gonna be able to do everything you want them to do, but managing to get both huge ensemble casts together and do something that satisfies like fans of both franchises and have it be cool and look good and have spectacular action moments and tell a complex story that is like maybe one of the biggest and geekiest stories in X-Men comics. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. it just worked incredibly well.
I'd also like to shout out, if we're going to talk about casting, Peter Dinklage in that movie, like as Trask, like what an inspired bit of casting. Yeah, that to me is just incredible.
I want to put also something that Ryan said about the multiverse stuff is that no number of Marvel variants and different takes on the same character being repeated over and over again, none of that has yet to match James McAvoy and Patrick Stewart having a conversation in this film.
Yeah.
how big that feels and how powerful that scene functions and how good those two actors are. And I think a Days of Future Past's less is more approach to that, it feels really special in an era where we're preparing a list of cameos for Deadpool Wolverine that took hours to assemble because there's so many of them. I think that sometimes less is more is more. I mean, it's not always true. Like I said, I think the first X-Men movie as a case of where I think the less hurts the film, but I think the less is more here, which is a weird thing to say about a film that costs as much, but there is a less is more approach to the multiverse stuff, or at least the time travel stuff here, that I think functions really, really well.
I think that's what's worth saying about Days of Future Past, is that in hindsight, like looking 10 years ago, like the fact that Days of Future Past, that you can say less is more about that film compared to where we've gone, that's crazy to me. But like, I think that speaks volumes about how well this movie did it.
Okay, guys, we've got two more movies here to jostle and figure out which one we're going to put at number one. The conversation is now down to X2 versus Logan. And I think Logan is probably the better movie, but I wonder if X2 is the better X-Men movie, if that makes sense. Like, there's something about putting Logan at number one on this list that kind of has me wondering if that's the right choice, because does it make sense to put the movie that deconstructs the genre tropes as the best film on the list? Like, would it make sense to put Unforgiven or Killers of the Flower Moon at number one on a list of the best Westerns of all time? There's just something a little weird about that. I wonder if anybody else feels similarly.
I mean, Unforgiven would definitely be on a list, but like whether it tops the list is the big question. And I think that you're right in that Logan is probably the better movie overall, but X2 improved so much upon the first X-Men. It's one of the best sequels, in my opinion, and it established a lot of what would come to like really be the core of what defines the X-Men. And a big part of that, I think, is John Ottman's incredible X-Men theme that didn't debut until this movie, and like starts the movie off like with just a real gangbusters, like, oh fuck yeah, we're getting all in on this. You know, that opening Nightcrawler sequence is amazing. Like, how they expand the roster with New Mutants in the sequel is great. And so, yeah, I think you can't have Logan without X2, and X2 is the best X-Men movie by far.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yes.
So I loved comics and superheroes from a young age, but it is easy for people now to forget, or maybe people that are a little younger to not know, it was radically uncool to like this stuff at one point. And, you know, to the point where you'd get made fun of, this and that. I'd set aside comics. I didn't want to do this stuff because I didn't want to get made fun of. And I will never forget, I was about 15 years old and went to go see X-Men 2 with my buddy Scott, who didn't like this stuff. And I remember when Wolverine's just ripping everybody apart in that mansion, which is still, to me, one of the best superhero scenes of all time. And everybody was, like, so in, you know, whether or not they knew these characters or not. And I remember, I could probably take you to where I was sitting in that theater, and I remember feeling the moment of like, everyone's going to understand now. Like, I just remember thinking like that being the moment where this thing shifted. Sure, the next year when, Spider-Man 2 came out, and that was maybe the bigger moment in some ways, and Spider-Man the year before. But for me, I remember that thinking that being like, you're making everyone understand the X-Men in complex ways. And just that being such a watershed moment to me of like, this is not going to be just some fad. This is a real thing now. And that was a formative moment for me, and I think it probably was for a lot of people. And I will say, every time I watch this movie, I am delighted at how well it holds up. Time has been extremely kind to it, and I agree with Ben's logic totally. And I'm actually delighted you guys are sort of on the same logic train, because I was worried I was going to have to fight for this.
Well, I haven't heard from Jacob yet. I wonder what you think about this.
I came into this podcast preparing to like list Logan as my person number one. But I think that the discussion here is very, very sound. But I guess I don't even need to say too much about Logan. I think everybody agrees that Logan is great. I mean, it's really a spectacular movie. The performances are beautiful. It's incredibly well crafted. It's really about something in a way that other X-Men movies aren't. But so is X2. I think X2 is a movie that really sums up the ethos of the X-Men so perfectly. And, you know, once again, say what you will about Bryan Singer, and there's a lot to be said about him. He's the one who really leans into the X-Men as a queer allegory here. I mean, it's literally the coming out scene with Iceman, as family wants to know if he can try not being a mutant, which is, if you've ever been in that situation, you know, it's incredibly real. So for a movie that's this much fun, it's so big on action and so big on outrageous characters, it really has this soul to it that I think is completely missing from X-Men 3 and from lots of the other sequels. It is so profoundly about the X-Men, about what they mean. And also, I just want to say that the 1-2 punch of Magneto and Brian Cox's Stryker in the same movie is incredible, because so few films have managed to overload with villains this successfully. You have two villains with complete opposite motivations who don't throw the movie out of whack. I think that Stryker and Magneto may be one of the greatest superhero villain lineups in any movie because they're opposed to each other.
And Brian Cox, so good in that role, like absolutely stellar in that role. Yeah. Also shout out to Hugh Jackman's, I'm not even going to try to do it, but when he's walking down that hallway and he says, "If you want to shoot me," the way he says that line and screams it, that still might be the best like Wolverine line reading to date. But yeah, I mean, I think Logan, it goes without saying, I mean, the got nominated for an Oscar, for God's sake, and it deserved it. Like, that movie is so much better than I think anyone had any expectation going into it. But, you know, but yeah, I agree with Ben's point that you don't get to Logan without X2. So, yeah, again, maybe it is, Logan is, quote unquote, the better movie. Logan is one of the better arguments we've ever had for superheroes as legitimate cinema. But, you know, again, you don't get there without X2.
I was working
at... Logan is the best
movie
on this list. X2 is the best X-Men movie.
I was working at a movie theater the summer X-Men 2 came out, and I saw it in theaters 5 times.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, speaking to that excitement that Ryan was talking about when he saw the assault on Xavier's mansion scene in X2, I remember feeling similarly about that moment, but also at the very end of the movie, just like the tease of the Phoenix story, like when Jean Grey seemingly sacrifices herself to save the team at the end, and then the tease at the very end of the Phoenix. It reminds me of the excitement that I felt later at the end of Batman Begins for the first time, when I realized that the next installment of that franchise would include the Joker. And I think we can all probably agree that the X-Men movies have not actually followed through with a truly spectacular adaptation of the Dark Phoenix saga, whether it was in X3 or in the movie Dark Phoenix. But just the way that X2 ends, I think, is where it like sends you out of the theater super excited about what was to come. Even though we know that X3 was like a giant letdown, that is another part of why X2, I think, works really well and sort of continues to hold up. So,
yeah, the only time I ever remember being equally as excited, mine's not Batman Begins like yours is, but mine is when they did the credit scene with Thanos and talked about the Infinity Stones after Avengers. But, like, I remember being so jazzed that they teased at doing the Dark Phoenix storyline at the end of X-Men 2. I was like, I could not be contained. I was just like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've done it, right? Anybody have any like last minute rejiggering or anything that you think we need to do, or is everybody on board with this order?
I'm on with the order. I just want to. I'm so excited about X2 now. I just want to say that the scene where Magneto extracts the iron from the prison guard's blood remains one of the most gnarly things ever happened in a PG-13 movie, and all props to X2 for that sequence.
And like, super inventive too. Like, what a unique idea to like have that be the way he gets out of that prison.
Yeah. Magneto's the coolest. I'm sorry. Magneto's my favorite X-Men.
Magneto's awesome. Yeah. I'll also say this is a bit off. This doesn't have a lot to do with anything, but there is a black and white cut of Logan, and it's available on, I think, on pretty much all of the Blu-ray releases. If you haven't watched the black and white version of it, it is very good. I would recommend giving that a go.
And before we go, I think because we didn't necessarily give a lot of time to Logan, because we're like, yeah, obviously this movie is very good and whatnot, and it's in second place. But I want to mention actually that Logan is the only X-Men movie to actually make me cry. That final scene at the end of Logan, no matter how many times I see it, when Laura takes the makeshift stick cross on his grave and turns it on the side to its X, I get choked up every single time.
Incredible movie. I cried
twice in that movie at the end, and then when Charles dies and Logan's like burying him and he doesn't know what to say, and I remember seeing it the first time and crying a lot, and then going to see it again with a friend of mine and thinking like, I'm prepared, I'm okay, I won't cry this time, and then crying harder like the second time. And yeah, again, it's like the fact that movie has that effect, and yeah, it really is that good.
Yeah, it's quite something. Whereas, like, I think fuck is the first word spoken in Logan, and like it was clearly the first time that they could sort of like let the chains off and like go full hard R. And I think it's a credit to James Mangold and who else wrote this movie? Like Scott Frank and a couple other people, right? That they were able to...
Michael Green as well.
Yes, Michael Green. That they were able to not just turn this into like an over-the-top, you know, straight-up carnage fest or something, which they easily could have done. There's just so much emotion and pathos and all of that in, sort of embedded into the DNA of this movie. And you get those moments where Wolverine is just like slicing people's limbs off and all of that, where it sort of satisfies the, I don't know, the bloodlust, berserker rage kind of thing that people had been wanting to see from that character for a long time. But you also understand what that does to the character and the sort of like how much it just like weighs on his soul and this lifetime of violence and all of that weighing him down. I mean, it's just, it's like a really heady, seriously, it's a serious movie, I guess is a good way to put it. So, yeah, shout out to Logan. Excellent stuff there. Any other closing thoughts from anybody before we wrap it up here?
Should we run down the top five in order just in case, just to sort of put a button on it?
Yes. Good point. Good call. Number one, X2. Number two, Logan. Number three, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number four, Deadpool. And number five, X-Men First Class. I think that's a pretty good list of the best X-Men and X-Men adjacent movies, guys.
Yeah. What about the scene in X-Men Apocalypse where Oscar Isaac touches the TV and says knowledge?
No. It's hold on. It's not knowledge. It's learning.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes. Oh, amazing. Well, yeah, we'll have to save that scene for maybe a future podcast ranking of X-Men scenes and X-Men moments or X-Men movie moments or something like that. But in the meantime, guys, I think we've done it. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about all of the X-Men movies at slashfilm.com. And I will try to link to a couple things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.